Are you kidding me?
If you can't believe what you're hearing, then get the straight talk from us. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is Now with Dr. Robert Brennan, and my very special guest and the man of the, well, the half hour, is Tricky Tritty. Tricky is a freedom fighter extraordinaire. He's organized a group called the People's Revolution based in Brisbane, and he's taken this group, of which I'm one of them, on many a march over the last couple of years. So good afternoon, Tricky.
Good afternoon, Dr. Robert Brennan. How are you?
Yeah, well, call me Robert. I just used the title now just to annoy the regulator.
I'll call you Bob then.
Call me Bob, yes. So it's great to have you on. And, you know, did you think in 2019 that you'd be walking at the front of tens of thousands of people through the streets of Brisbane?
No. I remember having a discussion with the committee of the ABN at the end of 2019, and we all knew 2020 was going to be a very hard year, and we knew it was going to ramp up, but we never thought it was going to kick off like it did in the fashion it did. Yeah, that was extreme.
Yeah, it's amazing. And so what got you into it?
Well, from a young age, I remember thinking this world wasn't quite right. You know, you go to school, you leave your family behind, you go to school, when you finish school, you're straight into the workforce, leave your family again every day, and you're there till about 70, you know, give or take. You have maybe 4 or 5 years of ill health on average, and then you're gone. So that didn't really impress me from the start. 9/11, that sort of set me into a deep state of research, and that was a very fast awakening when I was putting those dots together about how the world really operated and the deception through the media and through the government. And when my son was 12 months old, that was in 2016, he experienced a horrendous vaccine injury to his 12-month shots. So again, I started researching every day, many hours spent, researching. And when I say researching, I wasn't just on Google, you know, as the trolls like to claim. You know, you read the safety studies put out by the vaccine manufacturers, and many of these studies, you know, you don't have to be a scientist to make sense of it. You slow down, you read it. If you don't have the knowledge on some words, you look them up and you can make sense of it. And, you know, from what I learned from that was it was horrendous. It really blew the lid open on the world, and I couldn't sit back and watch any more innocent children or innocent families go through what we did. And often these families go through a lot worse than what we did. So that was the push that I needed to really start speaking out. And, 2020, that was it. That's when things got started, so did I.
Which was long before that they rolled out the vaccine. So did you start your activism in anticipation of that, or was it also about the loss of civil liberties and freedoms and all of that sort of jazz as well?
Well, yeah, you know, the vaccine thing with my son, that was the final thing. That was the final straw. It just happened to be the vaccine that got me started in activism. But it was always, for me, it was more of a broad thing behind the scenes. So I was sort of confined when I did my work on the committee of the Australian Vaccination Risk Network, which is, you know, that's the group founded by Merrill Dorey about 3 decades ago. And they, you know, they're the front line in vaccine awareness. But I was quite constricted to what I could do. It was based around the vaccines. And to me, it was a lot more going on. So when COVID came along in 2020, that was really the sign. It was a direct and a very apparent sign to me eternally that now is your time. Start doing what you got to do, and that's, you know, I never looked back since then.
Yeah, and tell. Although this is radio and we can't sort of show visuals, just describe to the audience that the People's Revolution has a particular logo that means something, that says something about the group. So describe that to the.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah. That pretty much, to me, that sort of sums up who we are and what we're about. So the logo is off a lion. It has a black arm and a white arm. And the fingers in the shape of a V. The two coloured arms, they symbolise people's perceived differences, and they start off separate. They flow down and they come together. They unite, and that creates the lion. Out of the two arms create the lion. The lion is the symbol of power and strength, and the fingers in the shape of the V, like I said, and that's V is for victory, and it's also the peace sign. So overall, you have people overcoming their differences, coming together to create a powerful and strong unit, and through this powerful and strong unit, will achieve victory through peace.
Yes, and I recall at one of the rallies when you stopped at a street corner and you gave quite an empathic message to both the police and the observers around. You know, it was something like, you know, you care about your children. Well, we care about our children too. And so in the same way that you care about yours, there's a point of which we can meet. So what's some of the messages that you want to give people for, you know, to give an idea of the message at the rallies and that People's Revolution wants to communicate?
Well, first of all, we all need to understand that, you know, the mainstream media's job is to fulfill an agenda. And at the moment, they're trying to create division through the people and create fear. So, you know, this term anti-vaxxer, we get labeled anti-vaxxers all the time. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're not anti-vaxxers. Like I said, that's a term coined by the mainstream media to create a division and to make people think that they have to either be an anti-vaxxer or a pro-vaxxer. I mean, that's all false. You know, and on the corner that day, what I said basically was, if you want to vaccinate your child, that's your choice to do so. And in this country, you have the freedom to choose. We're defending your right to make that choice. Now, in saying that, we'd really encourage you to do your own research without blindly following your doctor's or your government's advice, without doing your own research first. Do your research. And if that's the decision that you think is what is best for your family, feel free to make that decision. And we also have done our research and we love our children just as much as you love yours. And we also are choosing what we believe is best for our family. And as soon as we stop defending each other's rights to have that choice, that's when democracy and your rights and your freedoms start going down the sink pretty quickly. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a split in our society. You know, it was literally apartheid in this country not long ago, and it still is to some degree, when they announced that without the vaccine, without the booster, you won't be allowed into, you know, stadiums, churches, cinemas, cafes, restaurants. Apartheid used to be, if you were black, you couldn't go places. You know, that was in South Africa and now in Australia. Without this experimental injection, you weren't allowed into places. So it's all about defending each other's rights to choose.
Mm. Yes. And the first rally, tell us about the presence at the first rally. How many people turned up and what were your thoughts then?
So the first rally in the start of 2020, it was at King George Square. And that was in a lockdown. Now, it wasn't you were allowed out for certain reasons, only for certain reasons. One of them was recreational, only recreational picnic was included.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw that and we advertised it as we're going to be in this area having a picnic with 9 other people in our group because you were allowed in groups of 10. It would be, you know, it would be a really nice thing if we saw a lot of other people in their groups of 10 also having a picnic. So that was that was our way around the rules at that stage. So it was a lot, you know, there was a lot going on in Victoria at the time. The police were busting to people's homes and dragging them out simply for posting things on social media that went against the grain, went against the mainstream agenda. So it was very uncertain what was going to happen. We were watching what was happening in other states and it was very unnerving. However, we had about 1,500 people turn up. Warriors, they risked prosecution, they risked being arrested, and we all came together for what was a extremely high energy, high intense first TPR rally that really got things started, and it was brilliant. Yeah, that's what got us going.
And then it raised to the numbers to the biggest one yet, which would you say that was the one just before the December 17th?
Yes. Mandatory. Yeah, that would have been the one in December. Yeah. That was quite a sight to see the Brisbane streets full to the brim. You know, there was a camera that filmed it from the start of the rally, and they, you know, the camera was stood still. The people walked past, and I think it was like 50 minutes later, there's still people walking past. So you can imagine that.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, the energy. Mind you, you spoke about how the first one was at the time of a lockdown, but they got tougher with their rolling lockdowns. Was one that you tried to organise and get going that, the people didn't even get to assemble because they had police on every street corner, at the bus stops, at the train stops, everywhere.
I've never seen an operation like that in my whole life. The amount of So I've got a couple of inside links into the police, mm-hmm. and they called me a few days before and said, just so you know, every single police from Sunshine Coast, Brisbane, Redcliffe, Logan and Gold Coast, every single officer is on standby to be in Brisbane on your morning of the lockdown protest that they think's coming. And I just happened to be in the city at that time. I wasn't attended any protests, obviously, but I just happened to be around that area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had helicopters, they had dirt bikes, road bikes, buggies. They had, you know, no less than 4 or 5 police on every corner, every 50 metres to 100 metres. The whole city was in absolute – you wouldn't be mistaken to thinking that you were in a war zone. Yeah. We got hammered. They wouldn't let us in. They stitched us up big time on that one. You know, the thing is with that is – the amount of money and resources they spend on that, stopping a peaceful group of people expressing their right to peaceful public assembly.
Yes.
That's no longer a democracy.
Yeah.
And, these people, these police that thought they were just doing the job, that's not doing your job. Your job as an Australian police officer is not to stop the Australian public having their rights and freedoms. That's not what your job is. And there is a way around that. You can take a sick day, man. You can say no. There's many ways you can do. You can't just this excuse that I'm just doing my job. It doesn't fly anymore.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's right. You know, there's real organised crime out there, and the police and the state government are always sort of making the rhetoric that they're tough on crime and they're interested in controlling it. And yet, there's peaceful old the People's Revolution, which have a track record of being peaceful over sequential months of protest, and yet they're public enemy number one.
Yes, that's right. You know, and you know, the matter of the fact is, these guys are puppets. They have their strings pulled from behind the scenes. They're order followers. They must do what they're told, just like the politicians. They're getting control from behind the scenes. Mm. That's the fact.
Mm. Mind you, when you have tens of thousands of people, it's difficult to put up a great resistance against them. And it would be a bad look in the news. Mind you, it doesn't stop Daniel Andrews, but that's a different subject. Mm-hmm. But divide and conquer, that you have been harassed yourself when it's just been you and your family. And
yes, that's right. And what you initially said then, they can't stop 10,000 people. This is what people need to realise. Like I said, the police, again, having their strings pulled from behind the scenes. The politicians are being controlled from behind the scenes. The only people that are being controlled from behind the scenes is us. It's the people. It's the communities. Mm. So we must always remember that. And remember that people have the power they always had, they always will. The government are meant to be our representatives. The politicians are meant to be our representatives. Somehow, somewhere along the line, things in this country have taken the wrong path. And even the people now, they look, a lot of the people, the public, they look towards these politicians, these prime ministers, these premiers, as their boss, as their leaders. They're not our leaders. They're meant to be representing us. You know, that's not what's happening right now. So everybody needs a reminder of that, that the people have the power. Mm. So what did you say? I've lost my train of thought here.
I was talking about how you have been targeted by the government and its various sort of strong arms when it's just you and it's not you with the crew of thousands. So other of the speakers, the activists, the business owners that support us, small business owners. So, yeah, if you could speak to that.
Yeah. Well, that all started off with the second and third rally in Brisbane, at the Botanic Gardens. I think over those two rallies, we had about, you know, for 7,000 to 10,000 people in total. Mm-hmm. Both of those rallies, I was charged by the Queensland Police for contravening the Chief Health Officer's directions, namely being in a group of more than 10. Well, I was in a group of about 6,000, right? Mm-hmm. So I was the only person to have that charge on both days. It was August 23 and September 5 of 2020. Mm-hmm. Now, that should tell you instantly that when only one person's being charged for being in a group of more than 10, and that leader and that person just happens to be the one that they perceive as the leader or the organizer, that tells you it's not about health. It's about intimidation and harassment. Shortly after that, they were turning up at the house when I was at work. Now, these guys know where I work. They know when I work. They know my work hours. They happen to turn up at my house and park squad cars out the front and then knock on the door and ask my wife where I am. And, you know, when she says, you know, he's not here, and they say, well, we're going to be back here every day until he contacts us. Mm-hmm. They have my number. They've got my email address. They've contacted me previously many times. It's just mm-hmm. a simple case of harassment. Shortly after that, they're turning up at work in front of my workmates and my boss, claiming that they've caught me driving a suspended license. And I said, "Well, absolute rubbish, mate. I've got my license. I can prove it." Anyway, so they 4 days after that, they came to my house again with a with some paperwork claiming to have been there to confiscate my firearms license. The number one reason on that paperwork was recent charge of driving on a suspended license. Right. Yes. It's almost like they wanted to set me up here a bit. So anyway, I took both of those things to court. The driving and suspended license charge was thrown out, and I had my firearms and my firearms license returned. Mm. I've received over 100 pages of intel from the Queensland Police and Australian Federal Police. One of the paragraphs state that Tristan's been the subject of constant police attention. I can't remember the exact words, campaign or something like that. However, he remains dissuaded and continues on. So it's pretty much admission that it was simply a intimidation campaign
to shut down the rallies and and the People's Revolution. We're just going to go to a short break. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Michael Parker.
You've always been associated with the left and the progressive movements. Why is it that you can see some of these infringements on liberty and civil rights, but many of your peers cannot, and actually detract from you for doing so?
Yeah, that is a great and timely question. I just want to note that, you know, as I said a minute ago, in the United States, for sure, it's the left doing the bad things, and conservatives and libertarians are up in arms, and the left isn't. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, in Britain, it's the same script with a conservative leader, Boris Johnson. And in Australia, it's an even worse place down the line of fascism, you know, also with conservative leadership. And in Canada, it's liberal leadership with the same script. So these are transnational, transpartisan scripts now coming from above the level of nation states, above the level of parliaments and, you know, congresses.
Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Eggs. You can fry them, scramble them, poach them, boil them, or race them on a spoon. But uncooked eggs can be a risk for food poisoning. To be safe, avoid buying dirty or cracked eggs. Always wash your hands after handling eggs. And if you're concerned, pregnant, elderly, or have a poor immune system, make sure you cook eggs until the yolk starts to firm. Or look for new pasteurized eggs. For excellent eggs, handle them safely.
This is where you get your daily ration of high-velocity conversation. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is my very special guest, Tristan Tricky Tritty of the People's Revolution, Queensland-based freedom-fighting group, of which I'm a member. And we've got the rally coming up on this weekend, high noon, Saturday, in Brisbane. It's Musgrave Park. So can you give us an idea, Tricky, of the program of events on Saturday?
Well, we've got something very special planned for the intro. The intro is normally my favourite part of the rally, to be honest. There's an old Aussie track that I, when I first heard it, just didn't do anything for me, and I went past it. And then recently, one of my lawyers suggested it again, so I had another listen. And I became emotional. I had goosebumps all over my body, and I had a vision of what I can do with this song. And so we went down to rehearsal. We told about 20 people to come down, and we did a rehearsal. And Saturday midday, we're going to perform it for you guys. And yeah, that's going to be cool. Looking forward to that part. After that, we're going to have a few speeches, going to go for a walk, possibly in the rain. Mm-hmm. It's not looking real good at the moment, but you know, there's nothing like a bit of water to spice things up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And come back to the park, some more speeches, and we've got a live band playing as well.
Fantastic. And you know, it's not just about politics and giving a message that's mutually reinforced by the so-called freedom parties, because this being the last rally before the election, that's not just what we're about. We're about change and across the whole board of the culture. We're looking at systems of community that sit outside of government if we can, because, you know, what have they done for us this past couple of years?
Massively important. The main message I just want to get to people here is that this political system was designed by corrupt people for corrupt people to do corrupt things. It's the politicians, it's the political parties, it's the political system, which is a massive part of the reason why we're in this mess right now. So if you think you can sit at home and vote for somebody and have the change that we need, the positive change that we need to get us out of this mess, you're in la-la land. In saying that, there are things that we can achieve on a small local level in the political system, but we have to have strategy, and it's only worth what it is worth. You know, if we go into strategy, we can achieve small things. We can do things, we can block things, we can buy us more time and have local wins. But we should never become complacent with a system that is designed to control the people. So the message I really want to put out on Saturday is the message of community, the message that our way forward is with each other. We have to build systems up, and we have a platform that we are going to utilize in the very near future to get everybody into groups in the local areas, and they can, you know, whatever they're interested in, we have a group for it, and we're going to start building from the grassroots up. We're going to start empowering communities, strengthening communities, and with a focus on becoming self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you consider that a lot of us can't grow our own food, we don't know how to grow our own food, so we have to go to the supermarket. We can't even light, you know, we don't have a lot of fires. We can't sew buns on our shirts. So they really do have us. If we can't fend for ourselves, they control us. If we can fend for ourselves and we are self-reliant, that takes the power out of their hands and puts it into ours. And that's where it was always meant to be. And that's where we're going to be taking it very soon.
Mm. Self-sufficiency, community, food supply in these times of inflation and the like. And what about education? Where do you see us going with our children?
Well, that's a massive – there's actually a learning curve for us, because the platform I'm referring to is called the TPR Connect Groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was at the end of last year we launched our first TPR Connect Group, which was the homeschooling group. And we did a mini tour around Southeast Queensland. And it was awesome. It was highly successful at the start. They had a high amount of interest and activity and engagement. However, you know, I can't dedicate all my time to one thing, so I focus on other things. And when I did that, that group fell flat in its face. So, you know, we learned from that. So now we're sitting down, we're having proper meetings on the structure to set up leaders in each area to keep the people engaged and keep the ball rolling in those different fields. Very important, yeah.
Mm. So, yes, so we've got the rally coming up, Musgrave Park in Brisbane, although if you're up Rockhampton way, you're closer to Mackay, but, you know, and then there's Cairns, there's one little one down on the Gold Coast too. But, yes, Musgrave Park, high noon on Saturday. And
that's right.
And my very special guest has been Tristan Tricky Tritty of the People's Revolution. And they can find you where?
They can find me on Facebook, mm-hmm. under Tricky Tree,
mm-hmm.
The People's Revolution on Telegram.
Mm-hmm.
And the website, thepeoplesrevolution.com.au, which is going to be upgraded soon. I just thought, before we go, mm-hmm. Dr. Robert Brennan, Bob. I just want to say to everybody that rain, hail, shine or mud, Saturday will be going ahead. And sometimes the rain makes things a lot more interesting, a lot more fun. You know, end of the day, war was never comfortable, is never comfortable, and we're in a war right now, guys. So just commit, come down, and you'll enjoy yourself, and you'll leave empowered like everybody always does after a TPR rally.
Well said. Okay, and we're just going to go for a short break.
TMT. I'm tired of it.
I don't know where to begin.
Everybody's tired of it.
TMT.
I call it the oh my God virus.
Why do we give them the power?
Absolutely stupid.
Of course, it's ridiculous.
And it just goes along with everything else.
For them to actually mandate a vaccine.
Get the straight talk from us.
Time for us to be bold and be strong.
TMT.
And I wanted to thank you for that.
Telling the truth is the only mandate we believe in.
When you get into the facts and logic and reason thing, it drives me crazy because you're right.
TMT Radio.
They just was calling to give you my 2 cents.
TMTRadio.live.
This is Robert Brennan, and my very special guest and lady of the half hour is Michelle Wild. Michelle is a small business owner. She has a background as a corporate lawyer. She's passionate about protecting the freedoms for Australians and less government interference in business and family life. She believes in financially responsible government policies and reducing the green and red tape. There used to be just red tape when I was a kid. Stifling innovation and economic growth. Plus, the major two-party system is not, serving the needs of Australians, and the need for greater accountability and transparency from government is needed. Her goals are to assist One Nation. She's the One Nation candidate for the seat of Lilly. This is kind of like a little series on my covering of candidates for Lilly. So she's the One Nation candidate for Lilly, and her goal is to jumpstart Australia's decimated small businesses, allow Australians to take back their personal and medical freedoms, and to end irresponsible government spending. Well said. So, Michelle, good afternoon.
Oh, good day, Robert. How are you?
More importantly, how are you? We've done the speaking circuit out at Redlands, Cleveland Showgrounds and thereabouts, and so now we're back together again.
Well, I was seeing you at those meetings for some time as well with some doctors
and medical
professionals.
That's right. Yeah. Well, but the larger ones we couldn't do for a while because of the mandate so far as community centres are concerned, as, you know, large gathering places. But
yes.
That's part of the reason why you're into this fight. So tell us about your decision to go into politics and have a run. And the party that you joined and all the...
Yes, well, as you know, I took the 2 weeks to flatten the curve to 2 weeks to go down the... see what this was all about. It didn't make sense to me when there was 39 cases of something around the world or in Australia with a declared pandemic. So my eyes were wide open and... of course, I started going to the rallies, thinking Australians will never stand for this when a mandated vaccine comes in, which I knew was coming from March 2020. And, of course, I was very wrong. Discussing with my husband, he got sick and tired of me complaining and said, you need a seat at the table. And I said, well, what seat do I need? What table do I need to be sitting at? I'll sit at it. And he said, the Senate. And so... I said to him, the only party that I would ever join or consider joining, and I've never been a member of a political party before, was One Nation, because they were the only ones that were really questioning the narrative and thinking it was pretty diabolical to lose your job if you didn't get a experimental vaccine. So I approached them, became a member, and then when they put a call out for people's resumes, I put mine in and here I am.
Here you are, yes. And my talks with previous candidates were before the pre-polling has started, and it has started. So what's the vibe in Lilly at the moment?
Well, aside from the torrential rain, which has been going on. Well, yesterday was fine, but a lot of elderly people came out in Lilly on Monday in the pouring rain. We have volunteers at three of the pre-polling booths. Chermside's the busiest. Well, in our seat, there's three in the north side.
Okay.
So,
yep.
And they're all in the city of Lilly. So Chermside, obviously there's a city, but the city typically never got as many people pre-polling. So we're at Chermside, Geebung and Boondall.
Mm-hmm.
And the general consensus is, look, it's a mixed bag. Obviously, people are still voting the majors. 2019 election, the One Nation candidate got 5.3% of the vote. I'm hoping to do a bit better than that. There are traditional Labor and Liberal voters who are disgusted by what's happened, have been personally affected or family members affected by what's gone on in the last 2 years, and see the need for change. However, there are a lot of elderly people still coming, arriving with their masks on, even though obviously it's not mandated in Queensland at the moment. I mean, that is to me just an example of the fear that people have been, you know, put under.
Mm.
And so, and I guess that particularly is for elderly people. So, you know, it can be disheartening. You think, well, I thought, you know, I'm in a community where people are very awake. So I don't have a lot of friends or family or people I associate with who aren't awake to all of these issues. So it can be quite disheartening to see that people are, you know, I even met clients of mine because obviously I have a small business. I met them yesterday and I didn't recognize them initially because they were wearing a mask. But anyway, when they came out, yes, I know who you are. And we had a chat and they said to me how shocked they were after being triple vaccinated that they still got COVID and felt like they were going to die for 3 weeks.
Mm.
And so how do you tell someone that study upon study is showing that you're nearly four times likely to get COVID when you've been double or triple or quadruple vaccinated?
Yes, it's very disheartening to see people that have been, I mean, I could probably uncharitably say indoctrinated, but that's me saying it, not you. Potential voters know that. I'm the one using.
No, it's absolutely true. They've been indoctrinated, and you know, the first thing I would tell people is to stop watching your television.
Mm.
You might and look at something else.
It's a good way to cure a pandemic.
It is. It's a great way to cure a pandemic. And you know, people have said to me, "Oh, you know, this vaccine, you know, when the cases were really high early on." And you know, the truth of the matter is, they've never been higher now. But people don't seem to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher the vaccination rate, the triple and quadruple. I even met a lady who'd been vaccinated five times,
mm-hmm,
and was lining up for a flu vaccine. Well, you know, I'm not a medical professional, but I do know you can't vaccinate your way out of a pandemic. There's never been herd immunity by injection, and especially for respiratory diseases. Any doctor who's worth their weight will tell you you can't vaccinate or cure respiratory diseases with a jab in the arm.
Yeah, well, you certainly can't vaccinate your way out of tyranny if the tyrants have got an appetite for it. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
But I am hopeful that with the coming 3 years, which in my mind are going to be diabolical for our country as far as our economy, as far as sickness and so on, people might wake up and stop watching the news and actually think, oh, maybe those crazy people who were saying they wanted to keep their immunity system intact were onto something.
Mm. Well, so far we've been vindicated all the way, just about. The only thing I've been wrong on was I thought the property prices would go down. But, you know,
well, I was chatting with a lady yesterday who said obviously she couldn't vote for Lobo, as you might know.
Mm-hmm.
The Liberal candidate in the seat of Lilly lied to the Australian Electoral Commission about his address. Now, something you don't need to lie about. Perhaps he went to the Scott Morrison School of for Liars and learnt to just slip that one off the tongue. But there are Liberal voters who said, I usually vote Liberal, but I can't vote for that guy because he's a liar.
That's
and
true.
I say, yeah, fine. So, and, you know, I'm having to explain my credentials and, you know, one woman wants to know all about me, and which is great. You know, I like, I love the conversation. But it is interesting, and it's pretty tough out there actually.
Well, that's right. Yes. Because, and why might he have chosen, to represent an electorate outside or contest an electorate outside where he lives? Is it because Lilly's a marginal seat? And so he thought, oh, well, I can get power this way. I'll go for it.
Well, the thing is, Robert, I don't live in the seat of Lilly either. But it's one of the most, it's the top, one of the two top marginal seats in Australia. And so when I put my hand up and I said, I live in the seat of Brisbane, they said, well, we think you should run for Lilly. And I, obviously not being ever a political candidate, said, well, don't I need to live there? And they said, no, that's, you know, and it makes sense. Why would I sell my house? Sorry, go and live in, go and live or rent a house in an electorate where I've got a very small chance of being elected into, and then turn my life upside down because I live 2 kilometres from the boundary or border of an electorate. So it's not required. It's, he didn't have to lie. I certainly didn't lie on my AEC application.
No, and you didn't get a you didn't get a front address just to, you know, make it look good. Yeah. Credit to you. So honesty.
I've been trolled online. I've been trolled online for not living in the electorate. But again, that's like saying, well, I work in the city at an office and I can't represent the clients or look after them because I don't live in the city. It's crazy.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. And on that note, and honesty being the best policy, and you've lived up to that, we're going to go to a short ad break. This is TNT Radio.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
Most Republicans and Democrats are divided on many issues, but the vast majority support Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky administration and vehemently oppose Russia's military intervention in Ukraine. Not to be alarmist, but it is possible that the November midterm elections may not occur if the Biden administration continues to provoke Russia towards world war. President Biden boasted in a recent speech that the United States has sent more than $3 billion in security assistance to Ukraine to frustrate President Putin's alleged desire to dominate the nation. This includes a commitment of more than 5,500 Javelin missiles. The United States has invaded and bombed more nations than any other and has no moral high ground against Russia's defensive military action in Ukraine. US politicians supporting the supply of weapons to attack Russia risk much more than a cancelled midterm election. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
St. Joseph's Indian School is much more than a school for Native American children.
It's like a family. Classes are fun here. I am learning about my culture.
Since 1927, St. Joseph's Indian School has provided children the education, health care, and support they need to succeed. To help give our kids brighter futures, learn more at stjo.org today.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Several countries and automakers have pledged to end the sale of combustion engine cars by 2035. Electric cars are intended to take over, and this is supposed to be green. A transition to electric vehicles would require batteries galore, and therefore the biggest expansion of mining that the world has seen. Tailings from mines contaminate much wider regions, including major rivers, lakes, and the oceans. It takes 500,000 gallons of water to mine 1 ton of lithium, and farmers, left without a drop, are forced out. Lithium-ion batteries used in electric cars are difficult and costly to recycle, and it's cheaper just to mine more lithium. Significant quantities of plastic, aluminium, rubber, and particularly iron are required for electric cars, just as any other car. Massive new charging station infrastructure will again require more resources. Is this really green?
The new communism is COVIDism. Mandating that the truth be told, this is TNT Radio.
This is TNT Radio. This is Robert Brennan, and my guest is Michelle Wild. She's the One Nation candidate for the seat of Lilly, and this has been a little bit of a series on the candidates for the seat of Lilly because it's a representation of a metropolitan seat. It's in the northern suburbs of Brisbane, sort of like northern Bayside. It has a major metropolitan hospital, that being the Prince Charles. It has the international and domestic terminals of the major airport that of Queensland. And it's a marginal seat, so it's a really interesting one. And so, Michelle, you're looking at the local issues, the effect of lockdown on businesses, on the airport, and da-da-da-da-da. What's been your impressions of the journey that Lilly has taken the last couple of years and where you'd like to take it?
Well, I've fear that a lot of the business owners have forgotten that the pain they went through the last 2 years with 8 lockdowns that they had. Some businesses have done better than others. I've gone up and spoken to a lot of business owners. I guess everyone wants to sort of put that behind them, and I'm hoping that that is the case, even if we go into the result of this federal election with the same, if not a Labor government. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the lockdowns were more state mandated, so it's a bit different. We don't look at state change in election till, I think it's next year, end of next year.
Can't come too soon, but anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So, but there is a lot of concern out there with the cost of living. A lot of, pensioners and so on are feeling that pain. We've have a level of inflation we haven't seen before. And, you know, I've also been speaking to people. A lot of my volunteers are people, including, you know, teachers, medical professionals, aged care workers, and also, a lot of people don't forget about pilots. I was speaking to a pilot last night who was volunteering, and she's maintaining a house with three other she's the only one working at the moment, and maintaining a house with three others.
Mm. Remarkable.
So, you know, there's a lot of underemployment and unemployment. I don't know how it's at 4%, but, you know.
Mm. Well, yes, because the airport is everything from the pilots on across to the catering to, you know, it's a huge thing sitting there. It's a huge employer. And it was pretty well closed for the most part for God knows how long. I mean, the international terminal was next to a ghost town for a very long time. And so, yeah, we've got the airport and the plight of pilots and airport workers. And you said about small business, some of them weathered the storm, but some of them didn't do so well. So what would be your plan to revive small business? Not just in Lilly, but, you know, as part of One Nation, the nested plan.
One Nation are sort of pushing for a parliamentary inquiry into the way COVID has been handled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was always an opportunity for Scott Morrison to step in at any time and maintain our constitutional rights and our human rights to take personal responsibility. And so it's the way it's been handled is completely overreach in my view. People should never have been forced to shut down their business and, in fact, never been forced to vaccinate themselves to maintain their job or business. In fact, the call I missed and turned off was a gentleman who, 77 years old, owns his own pub, was fined on the first day, December 19 last year, for being in his own pub unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a matter going to court. He's fighting that fine in July. So, you know, it's just craziness. And my surety would be to push either that parliamentary inquiry or just to ensure that this never happens again. I mean, even if it was a bubonic plague, you know, it's just, I just cannot see how our economy, jobs, businesses, mental health, and so on can be so affected by such a, what is now considered a flu, very well published. I mean, India's just gotten rid of all vaccine mandates. And so on. So I would hope that this never happens again. And that's, I guess, one of the main reasons I'm standing, because if this can be so mishandled on such a minor issue of COVID, which, you know, lots of vaccinated people have had too,
mm-hmm.
they were told they were going to die, which was clearly not true, clearly not true. And they knew that too. The government knew that.
Mm. So tell us about Pauline's plan for a royal commission. I understand that she was trying to enliven or activate various sorts of inquiries this past few months, but was, except for a very few other senators, was stymied by the bulk of Labor, Liberal, except for like Rennick. So
yes, there's a handful of senators who have been speaking out.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, well, I mean, the point of having so many freedom candidates running for a seat in the lower house is to maintain that level of accountability for the major parties and to make live the issues as far as, you know, this, the way the pandemic has been handled. I mean, our whole economy has been trashed, small business and so on. I'm hearing 30% of businesses have closed in Melbourne. I mean, they had the longest lockdowns. I mean, obviously that's a state-based thing as well. But again, the federal government and Scott Morrison could have stood it up at any time and said, you can't do this.
Mm. And you could speak to that as a lawyer, I imagine, because there'd be a legal argument for the limitation of the federal in the states, but also the spaces within which the federal government could override the states.
Or, absolutely.
You know, so yes, things like, the Biosecurity Act, the Commonwealth Act, or was it a constitutional argument that could be had for...
Well, absolutely constitutional argument. And I think the UAP are also discussing that we should have a Bill of Rights where we where we all know that we have basic, which we do know, we've signed up to international treaties in relation to our human rights, which covered every single aspect of what happened to us during COVID. It's just that, unfortunately, some bureaucrats decided to trash that idea. So, yes.
Yes, well, that's right. From Nuremberg to Syracuse and everything in between. And I often mention those, but of course, they're just fluffy statements of aspiration, and they're not actually domesticated. So, you know, isn't it a pity that Scott Morrison doesn't just formally renounce them and say, well, we're not interested in these international codes, covenants of human rights. We just sign them because it made us look good. But no, we are not interested in them. We formally renounce them. But he won't do it.
Well, he won't do it, but he's very interested in you know, following the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization treaties that they're putting forward now, which is, you know, you'll follow our every desire and wish as any new pandemic comes out, and they usually tell us when and where and how that's going to happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's another one, as perhaps you wouldn't be.
Well, it's what happens. You know, we've had flu pandemics, that is influenza pandemics, and coronaviruses are just part and parcel of the biosphere, you could say. And so it's only a matter of time until another excuse is given them to do what they did to us. But as you alluded to, the World Health Organization is working on universalizing a pandemic plan that will involve draconian health policy and makes what happened to us this past 2 years look like a picnic. So, you know, so the fight's on, and it isn't over yet. And so, okay, we spoke about small businesses, and we talked about COVID and how you'd be after a Royal Commission into the government's health policy, re-SARS-CoV-2, the last couple of years, and the Bill of Rights. When most people think of the Bill of Rights or a Bill of Rights, they think of the United States one. So what would you take from that and perhaps other countries and bring into Australian constitution if you could?
Well, of course, I would want to secure everyone's personal responsibility. Obviously, I mean, America's very big on, you know, freedom of speech, which we don't technically have the right of in our constitution. But we've seen that's been an issue in Australia too, with many medical professionals being silenced and threatened. So, you know, those aspects. And also, I mean, I'm not a gun nut, but I do believe that Australians, you know, if we have a right to bear arms, then that should be our right.
That's their Second Amendment, isn't it?
That's their Second Amendment, right? Yeah, exactly. So And of course, bodily autonomy. I do not think anyone should have the right to tell you that you need to be subjected to a medical experiment. And again, we had those protections in what I thought was the international treaties we'd signed on human rights. But again, Australians just sort of went along.
Yes. Yeah. Well. Yeah. They're only as good as the will to use them. And so, that's freedom of speech, a US style Second Amendment style thing, and bodily autonomy. So far as freedom of speech is concerned, though, what would be the limitations to it?
Well, you know, I've mentioned before when I've spoken publicly that of course, everyone is entitled to their opinion, but I also think that if you're a journalist or publishing or broadcasting and you are blatantly telling lies and fear-mongering and sensationalizing items of news, then you should be prosecuted. I cannot understand how the mainstream media has gotten away with what they have in the last years. And of course I do understand, because there's no protections or limitations on what they can and can't say. However, I think if you are giving false news to people, and if it's not declared as an opinion piece, then in my view, that should be a criminal offence.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
So that would be my limitation on freedom of speech. Sure, have an opinion, but if you're a broadcaster and reporting news, which is supposed to be fact and should be considered as such by their audience, you know, this sensationalising and fear-mongering and blatant lies should be prosecuted.
Mm.
It's not journalism. It's just rubbish.
And changing from highfalutin principles of liberty to, you know, the down on the ground issues. We've got inflation. You could say it's happening, or the price of things has risen and isn't going down. And we've got a looming mortgage debt crisis, some say. So what's One Nation's plan about that, about the economy in that sense?
Well, you know, inflation has been caused by the never seen before printing of money. And so it's, of course, that's going to happen. And so the inevitable effect of that is the economy will crash. And we're having issues now with food supply. So what's going to happen is, in my view, people can't plant their crops. Now, the soil is too wet, so we don't have food security in this country. We also don't have fuel security. We don't have cheap and affordable electricity. So there are a lot of the things that One Nation talk about. I mean, Malcolm Roberts has a mining background, and, of course, he's pro-cheap coal mining, which provides cheap and affordable electricity. Yet, as a country of 25 or 26 million people, you know, our major parties, including the Greens, have signed us up to a net zero 2050, which One Nation is completely against, which will only cost jobs. We have an abundance of natural resources in this country. We should have the cheapest electricity in the world, but we do not.
We do. We have all the real materials we'd ever need, including uranium for those who are fans of the nuclear option.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've got it all, but yet
I feel like we've been sold out. We've been sold out and mismanaged for decades. And, you know, I never considered all of these things before.
Yeah.
But now they've become increasingly important because, you know, I have young children. A lot of people have young children. I know a lot of business owners. It is so hard out there being a small business owner. And the majority of Australians, like it or not, work in small business.
That's right.
That is the backbone of our economy.
But we're going to fight for them, and we're going to fight for them at the ballot box. And so this has been Michelle Wilde, the One Nation candidate for the seat of Lilly. And this is TNT Radio.